We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is the Jason Barsky Show on WILK News Radio.
All right, it's 11:07. It's WILK News Radio. It's the Jason Barsky Show. When news came out last week that out of North Jersey, a retired 80-year-old Marine veteran had died of a rare tick-borne disease. I think I'm pronouncing this right. The Powassan virus. I thought, all right, this is how I'm going to die, because I get paranoid like that very easily. And a lot of people do. And I have kids, too, to worry about. And we got a new house with some long grass in the back. I get worried. So I thought, let me see if I can find a tick expert. And to my surprise, I found some tick experts right in our own backyard at East Stroudsburg University. I want to welcome her to the show. She's the lab director of East Stroudsburg University's Dr. Jane Huffman Wildlife Genetics Institute, which is a long title, but here is Nicole Chinichi. Welcome to the show, Nicole. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Doing all right. Thank you for being on the show this morning.
Yeah, not a problem.
Are you on a speakerphone or no?
I am. Can you hear me better now?
Oh, that's 100 times better. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
That's great. Well, listen, thank you for coming on. I was talking to someone from East Stroudsburg. I forget her name. I was talking to her the other day, and she said, Nicole's not a medical doctor, so she's not going to be able to give you medical advice.
Correct, yes.
However, you know so much about ticks around the world in this area because of what East Stroudsburg University is doing, and it's a nationwide program, correct?
It is.
Can you tell everyone just the basics of what you're doing and why they would want to send you their ticks?
Sure. So what we do at the university is we offer a service to the public, which will test your ticks that's been biting you or an animal. And we test it for different diseases to determine what you've been exposed to. So hopefully that you can identify what your symptoms will be occurring before they actually occur. So you would go on our website, ticklab.org. You place your information in. We collect a lot of different demographic information of where ticks are located, where they're biting people. We use that for our research. You'll get a voucher you print off. You put it in the bag with your tick, and then you mail it to our lab. And within 72 hours, you'll get your results.
So you work quick on this stuff, huh?
We do.
How did you personally stumble into becoming what I'm calling a tick expert? Like, was this when you were a little girl? Did you say, you know, I want to grow up and be a tick expert? I'm guessing that's probably not the case, but someday you take a class or something in school and suddenly there you are and you're like, wow, I love this.
Not really. So I did my graduate research at ESU and I did a lot of genetics work on bears at the lab that Dr. Jane Huffman started, which we renamed after her.
Yeah.
And just through my progression in the lab, I took over the tick testing side of things and just over time have learned almost everything you can know about ticks.
Tell me this. Is there anything about ticks that maybe people freak out about when they shouldn't? Is it something about ticks that people shouldn't freak out about?
If it's just crawling on you, you don't have to worry. But if it's biting you, you should worry.
Okay, so it is. Okay, I was hoping you'd be like, you know what? The odds of you actually getting sick are slim. If it bites you, just knock it off. You'll be fine. So, okay, so you do a lot of research to figure out what you may come down with.
Yes.
And you have some, I'm guessing you have the statistics. Like, what percentage of ticks are carrying Lyme disease? You know, are there good ticks out there?
There are. So it will range depending on what life stage. It's very complex when it comes to ticks, which makes it very hard for the layman to really understand. But there's two different life stages that will feed on us that put us at risk of diseases. And those are the nymph ticks, which are sizes of poppy seed. Hmm. And then the adult ticks, which are a little bit larger, about the size of a sesame seed. The adult ticks can range in some areas of Pennsylvania upwards of 70% infected with Lyme disease.
Wow.
And the nymphs are around in 30 to 40%. So they do have high prevalences, but it is based off their life stage. But in general, we find that most ticks in Pennsylvania are carrying some type of tick-borne disease, whether it's Lyme disease or something else.
Speaking of something else, and that 70% is higher than I was hoping for, but again, that plays into my own weird quirks about illnesses. Bear with me with my paranoia. This Powassan virus, how often do you see this? Is it as deadly as the article I read would make it seem like? Or is it something where it's like, yeah, this is bad, but it can be treated, and this may have, there may have been extenuating circumstances with this this 80-year-old Marine veteran?
So it all depends on, there's two different types of Powassan lineages.
It's Powassan, thank you.
Lineage 1 and Lineage 2. Most of the time when people are diagnosed with Powassan virus, they don't go to the extent to really identify which one it is. Lineage 1 is transmitted by the groundhog tick, which is considered the one to be fatal and very harmful to us, but groundhog ticks rarely feed on humans. And then Lineage 2 is found in our black-legged deer tick population at about, we find in Pennsylvania, about 4% of ticks will be carrying it. But this one's considered to be asymptomatic and not cause any issues in our population. So it's very hard to really say whether or not it's very scary or not, just because it's these individuals that are getting this fatal strain. We don't know if it's Lineage 1 or Lineage 2, and there's very little research out there for
it. You said it was only in, what, 4% of those deer ticks? Is that right?
Yeah. Yep.
So it's obviously 70% with Lyme disease. That's far more frequent. Can these deer ticks carry both? How do you pronounce it? Is it Powassan?
Yes, Powassan.
Can they carry both Powassan and Lyme? And if so, how many can they carry at once?
Oh, yes. Ticks, we find some ticks can have upwards of 5 different diseases that they're carrying at once, and that's when it becomes challenging for physicians, because you can have Lyme disease is caused by bacteria, which you're treated with antibiotics. Powassan virus is a virus, which there really is no treatment for viruses other than rest and fluids. And then you have protozoal infections like Babesia, which is similar to malaria, which needs to be treated completely differently. And ticks can be carrying all 3 of them at the same time. They can be carrying 2 at the same time, which if you're just being treated with antibiotics, it can be difficult to recover.
All right. Talking to the lab director at East Strasburg University, the Dr. Jane Huffman Wildlife Genetics Institute. It's Nicole Chinichi. And, okay, would you say tick bites and tick disease, tick-borne diseases, are they getting worse? Is it just that the science is getting better to identify them, so we seem to hear about them more?
I mean, that's a good argument on both sides. We are seeing that there are more ticks in the environment, and we do see higher rates of different diseases as we monitor them over time. And that's why surveillance is really important. And this study that we're doing with the state testing residents' ticks is very important, because it's actually going to give us a baseline understanding of what's going on in our environment. So we can answer that question better. Are the diseases actually increasing, or is awareness increasing?
And again, the program, it's interesting. I'd never heard of a program like this, and it's kind of cool that it's, you know, in this area at East Strasburg University. The website's ticklab, ticklab.org. Is that correct?
Yeah.
And you go on there, and there's information on how you can send in your tick. Do they have to be removed in a certain way? And if so, what is that certain way? Because it was like the number one question I've received via text message. What do you do? Do you just scrape it off? Do you have to burn it off? The people are asking 1,000 questions about what the right way to do this is. And if they're going to send them to you, what's the best way for you to get this tick?
So there's a lot of information on social media and on the internet that you probably don't want to listen or follow by.
Okay.
And that information is anything that's going to help the tick back out easily, putting Dove soap on it or petroleum jelly, or taking a match and burning it and then burning the back of the tick, and the tick, oh, it's no so nice, it backs up very gently out of you and it doesn't harm. That's all really bad for you. What that is I like to explain it as if you were feeding your dog and your dog's scarfing down its food, and then you try to take away its food. It's going to get angry at you, and when a tick gets angry and agitated, it actually regurgitates all of its contents into you, which will put you at a higher risk of any diseases it's carrying. So the best way to remove a tick is just to use a fine point tweezer, grabbing at the base of the head and mouth parts where it attaches to your skin, and pulling straight up and out.
I tell you something, when I'm looking for something that's going to put my mind at ease, it gets worse, because it's like, oh, if you scare the tick or you burn it, it's going to like basically throw up into you, and then you're going to get sick, the chances get worse. That's just horrible. Why do we need them, and how can we kill them all? That's kind of how I feel about this. Jokes aside, real quick, I did have a question about a different type of tick, and this is what I consider to be my worst nightmare tick, because I'd be alive but sick. What is the tick, and do we see it here in Pennsylvania? The tick that gives you some sort of antigen that makes you allergic to meat.
Yeah, so that's the Lone Star tick, and yes, we do have them in Pennsylvania. They're actually becoming more common. It was a tick that was a southern tick that has increased its distribution all the way up to the coast of Maine at this point. And any, it's like any allergy. Like if you have a peanut allergy or shellfish allergy, you might end up with a red meat allergy after one bite or after multiple bites.
Okay, because I read an article once, and they said you get bit for 10 seconds and you have this allergy. But then I later read that it's not for life. Some people kind of outgrow the allergy.
Yeah, it's just like any other allergy. They kind of all act the same. You can have an allergy for so long. Like, look at poison ivy. Some people can be highly allergic, and then after some time, you don't have as high a big of effect against it. So, it's the same thing.
I'm not misrepresenting this tick. It bites you, and then you end up getting violently ill, right, when you try to eat meat, even if you've always been a meat eater.
It's not all the time. So, it's not like I got bit by a Lone Star tick, I can never eat red meat again.
Okay.
It's all person and immune system dependent.
Okay.
So if you're bitten by a Lone Star tick, all Lone Star ticks will carry this type of sugar in their saliva.
Okay.
So it will put you at risk, but you won't necessarily develop it. And you won't develop it after the first bite. It could be after 30 bites of the same tick.
Oh, my goodness.
So it depends. It's all individual preference. And you can go to an allergist to determine if you have that.
Okay, and it's becoming more common, which is something I think people should be aware of. Okay, so I don't know if this is something you would know. A listener is a hunter and asked about eating venison. If, you know, these deer tick bite the deer, they get this. Is there any risk from eating venison?
To, like, getting a disease?
Because of deer ticks having Lyme disease. I feel like, are they two different things?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So deer have no association with the spread of Lyme disease. Let's nail that myth right now. Deer do nothing with the transmission of Lyme disease. So deer don't carry Lyme disease. They don't give it to the ticks.
Okay.
Ticks get the disease from mice. And as long as you cook your meat, it's like any other pathogen that's in the environment. I mean, your cows are going to carry diseases. It's all environmental ecological cycles. As long as you cook your meat properly, it'll be killed off.
And that was the conversation he said, because he said, he goes, anyone who cooks venison knows you're not going to cook it to the recommended temperature because it turns into shoe leather. He said, but if that, you said exactly what I predicted you'd say, which is, yeah, if you cook it to the right temperature, you're fine. Don't worry about it. But if you're saying that there could be some sort of risk of getting sick, but not from Lyme disease.
No, not from Lyme disease. I mean, I would worry more about chronic wasting disease than Lyme disease.
Have you heard these conspiracy theories? I have a lot of conspiracy theory listeners who say Lyme disease was released by the U.S. government.
I mean, that would be a really terrible bio defense.
Yeah, because we'd slowly make people sore and tired, right? Like if it was. Have you heard these rumors? And is there? I mean, it's just the nature of the business. It's science. It's a disease. People think it's new. I mean, it's been around for quite some time, correct?
It has been. It's been dated back. They've found ticks preserved in amber and have found the bacteria in it. I don't remember the guy that was found frozen to the mountain, the Iceman, he actually had Lyme disease that they found, which was millions of years ago as well. So, I mean, it's been around forever.
Gotcha. I just want to read a couple of these questions here. How long do you have to remove a tick before you really, you know, are at risk for something like Lyme disease?
Well, each disease that a tick can carry transmits at different time periods. So Powassan virus is 15 minutes, and Lyme disease is suspected to be 18 to 24 hours.
Wow.
So anywhere from when a tick attaches, you're at risk of some disease for potential.
And do you have any sort of recommendations? There's a lot of people asking this, and I don't know if you're the right person again, but you seem to know a lot about this because that's your thing. And I'm impressed by your knowledge. It's wild. I wish I had some sort of specialty that was something other than being silly on the radio and talking about these things. I'm jealous of it. What are some tips that people can take, maybe something they don't know that can keep ticks off them?
Well, I mean, anytime you're going outside, especially if you live anywhere in the Northeast or the Midwest, you really just want to be protecting yourself against tick bite. Yard prevention, pet prevention, and personal prevention are three keys to really being able to protect yourself because your pets can bring the ticks in. Your yard could harvest the ticks. Most people in Pennsylvania are exposed to the ticks just in their backyard. Wearing some type of repellent, natural or chemical application, and just constantly when you come in from outside doing a tick check.
Do you have any personal recommendations for things that work better than others?
I don't. I'm not a person that utilizes chemicals or natural sprays, so I just constantly in checking for ticks. I wear light colored clothing when I'm outside, so I can see them crawling on me.
That's a good idea. Never thought of that.
I try to avoid areas on the edges of the forest if I can. If I know I'm going to be deep in the woods, I'm constantly checking, but avoiding the areas that they'll be.
Gotcha. Well, it's interesting. So again, to put everyone's mind at risk, the it's Powassan virus that originally got this conversation started about finding you to have you on the air. It's what, about 4% of the ticks?
So we find 4% of the ticks in Pennsylvania, they'd be carrying lineage 2.
But not everyone who gets bit by that will develop that, correct?
Correct. Well, lineage 2 is suspected to be asymptomatic. The lineage 1 is suspected to be fatal. And those diagnosed with Powassan, typically they don't go through extensive testing to determine which lineage it is. So we don't know if the individual from New Jersey had lineage 1 or lineage 2.
Okay, so it's possible that could have been something secondary. When you say it's fatal, the other one, is it always fatal or is
No, it's about 10% of the time.
Okay, so it's the risk of being fatal, but only at 4%. Your risks are fairly low, but just keep an eye on the ticks out there. And 70% for Lyme disease. And wow.
And that's based off of areas. So some areas will have upwards of 70%, but some areas could have as low as 20% of ticks. So it is area dependent, and there will be hot spots of disease.
Do you have any specifics at all about like Northeast PA up here, Scranton, Wilkes-Barre, some of the hiking trails up here, state parks?
Well, again, if you have an area that's very forested and has high coverage of forested, you're typically going to have lower rates of diseases. It's the fragmented populations where you have high mice populations, so residential areas that back up against forested areas, those are going to have higher rates of diseases.
That's really good information there. I wouldn't have thought about that because the mice are giving it. Okay, so the mice get pushed out of the forest, they end up in the suburbs, and next thing you know, where they're spreading disease. This is fascinating, and I would talk to you probably for another 45 minutes, and people are going to be mad. Why are you letting her go? Well, you have to research ticks, and if anyone wants to, you know, if you find a tick again on your body, pull it out with the fine point tweezers, correct? And
yep.
Then put it, and then go to ticklab.org, T-I-C-K, lab.org. You guys take about 72 hours, and you'll get right back in touch with the person to say, hey, this is what the tick that bit you was carrying. Here's what you can tell your doctor.
Yep, you'll get a text and an email.
And it's right from East Stroudsburg University. Again, this we've been talking to the lab director. Again, East Stroudsburg University, the Dr. Jane Huffman Wildlife Genetics Institute, Nicole Chinichi. Thank you for coming on. I have so many questions I probably still could ask, but they might start going in circles. And frankly, I'd love to have you on again if and when one of these stories hits the news and there's a new virus we're discussing. But keep up the good work.
Thank you.
You were awesome to talk to. Have a great day.
You as well.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.